Good morning, City Well. It is good to be with you this morning. I am Crystal, pastor here as it was. Amen. And it is good to be with you all on this second week of Advent in which we reclaim our hope. Our reading this morning will be from Matthew chapter 3. Hear these words of the gospel. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you, for you are fire, purifying us, transforming us, refining us, motivating and encouraging us, God's people, God's children, to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive the hope that you are speaking to us this day. Use me, O Lord, as your vessel. In Jesus' name, and let the church say amen. Amen and amen. I don't often give my sermons titles, but today I was given a hope-filled expectation. A hope-filled expectation. Today we enter in the second week of Advent. Advent, the coming or appearing of Christ, whose birth we prepare to celebrate once again. We decorated the church, amen. The one who comes, the one who came, the one who continually comes in word and spirit, and whose return and final victory we eagerly expect. This is the season of expectation, but a season of preparation, of a peaceful expectation. And we discussed that last week. Not frenzy, not fear, but peace. This week, we look at what it means to have a hope-filled anticipation and expectation. It can be good to look forward. It is good to look forward. but by answering the invitation of reflection and looking back. That's where we will find our hope once again. For the one we hope for, if we truly hope for, we will be faithful in preparing for, faithful in our expectation. Advent reminds us of this day. I have often been intrigued by the prophets, especially how the Old Testament has its minor prophets. I was always very intrigued by that. Nothing was minor about them. These men and women whom the Spirit of God had empowered to proclaim the word, most often at difficult times, challenging words to God's people. Of course, they did not want to hear it. These messages of justice, how they were abusing the poor among them, the less fortunate, the foreigner in their midst. We know these rebukes, false gods, idolatry that was in the midst of God's people, drawing them away was the prophet, drawing them to God in the love that God had for them. There was the rebuke, the way in which they were not living inside God's will, how they were hurting themselves individually, but how the community was being hurt. But there was always the hope, the expectation of the Messiah. The children of God would be turned back to God. That was what the prophets told. This inauguration of this new era of justice, of righteousness, is what the psalm constantly reminded us of, the one who would come and bring peace and love. In our text today, John the Baptist is proclaiming the advent of the one to come, preparing the way of Jesus. And every king has a herald. And this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The truth is that the way we tell the story, though, is a sanitized version. A manger and a virgin and a baby. We don't often remember why it is that he really came. John won't let us forget. Jesus did not just come to be Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to inaugurate the era of God's justice and righteousness. John's message is a message of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. A message that, if we allow it to, will challenge us even today. Challenge us to ask ourselves hard questions. Where is your hope? Is your hope in material things? In the United States of America? In our legislators? In this administration, or perhaps the hope of a new administration? Where is your hope? How are you preparing to make your path straight? How are you preparing to make paths straight in your community? What does it look like to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance? The prophets always rebuke us, always encourage us, though, to ask the hard questions. In this instance, John the Baptist is proclaiming, "One is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord." Now, before we miss it, and I've preached about the wilderness many times before, but we cannot lose sight of the context of John's ministry. John had a context, a geography. John's parish, as it was, or his geographical community, was the wilderness. John's ministry and proclamation was in the midst of the desert. Away from the center of religious and political and economic activity. Away from the temple in Jerusalem, away from those who thought they were the leaders in God's house. This dry and barren place is where John preached and proclaimed life and hope. Although the wilderness is a place that we don't like to be, great things happen in the wilderness. Let the record show, it is where the Jewish people, the Hebrews, Abraham's descendants, received the law. It is where God sent them when God delivered them from captivity. The wilderness is where they saw God perform miracles, feeding them bread, manna, daily in the wilderness. It is where God showed God's self to Moses and Elijah. The list is long. We have our wildernesses too. Some of us at this time of year may experience a wilderness, remembering the ones that we have lost, remembering what life has brought this year, hoping sometimes we too will go through our wilderness. But the truth is that the wilderness is a place of revelation, of reflection, and where God shows up to show God's self to be true. John's message in the wilderness was, one is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now, John's message, this message, this sermon title, wasn't warm and fuzzy. It was hard and difficult. Repentance is a call to action. It is not just, I've done something wrong. It is, I recognize my sin and I choose by the power of the Holy Spirit to realign, to turn away, to reorient myself fundamentally. A life lived for God is a life of repentance. We don't always get it right, but we are grateful for the power of the Holy Spirit to call us back to God, to call us back and to realign our priorities with the one who loves us. As John preached and taught and proclaimed in the wilderness, those who were powerful came to him. The Sadducees and the Pharisees had heard about what he was preaching, and they came to him. He brought the establishment to him. People were seeking to be right with God. God's grace was available to all, and John got the attention of the religious elites. Because in this message, in this proclamation, he was rebuking them too. You brood of vipers, who warned you? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. The thing is, often in these types of texts, and when we come across these types of rebukes, we like to imagine that we're on the good guy's side. We want to either put ourselves in the place of the prophet, or at least the people who are coming have sense enough to come, right? And receive the baptism. Far too often, though, we too are like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We want to say who are outsiders and who get to be insiders. We decide who is bearing fruit and who is following all the rules because we're the good Christians. We too, though, are being rebuked in this morning's text. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Evaluate the fruit that you are producing in this world. This text is a challenge. I have a heart for reconciliation. That's what I used to say. I stopped saying that. Because what I find is that too many of us who do have this heart want reconciliation without repentance. It's like cheap grace. Reconciliation requires the acknowledgement of the wrong that was done to your sibling. You have to be willing to repent and to commit to turning around to stop doing that before we can be reconciled. We have a lot of work to do. But John's message this morning reminds us, bear fruit worthy of repentance. The last century saw many different social movements. Movements spearheaded by what I would call as modern day prophets. Folks who were willing to bear fruit worthy of repentance. One figure in particular, mostly for me because he was a reverend, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., imprisoned and writing from a Birmingham jail, rebuked the religious establishment for tarrying in the cause of justice. King rebuked the nation with his "I Have a Dream" speech, and it's funny how we say that, but we don't quote the beginning of it, talking about how this country wrote a check to its Negro citizens, a check outlined in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, a check that has come back insufficient funds. We don't talk about that very much. We don't talk about El Salvadorian Archbishop Romero, who gave this rebuke to the church, a church that doesn't provoke any crisis, a gospel that doesn't unsettle, a word of God that doesn't get under anyone's skin, a word of God that doesn't touch the real sin of the society in which it is being proclaimed. What gospel is that? What gospel is that? Just like MLK and Bishop Romero, John's words created a crisis for the hearer. I hope it does for you too. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. These two statements are strong, but that last one is quite unsettling. And another gives us hope, but one is coming. One is coming. Today we enter the second week of Advent, and it is about hope. A season of preparation, a hope-filled expectation. John was preparing for Jesus. John was preparing for something else. He enters into Isaiah's prophecy, and he fulfills it. But he also enters into Joel's prophecy, one of the minor prophets. Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This Holy Spirit that comes in the form of fire is the one who enables us, sustains us, motivates us to live a life bearing fruit worthy of repentance. I love this time of year. It's a beautiful time to be with family. Read to your children and your grandchildren the night before Christmas, but also read the Mary's Magnificat. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. This will help us to realign our purposes. Do your shopping. Give all the gifts. I like to receive gifts too. It's a shameless plug. Give presents with much joy, but relish in the truth of the present we can't replicate. Jesus, the Christ. And remember John's rebuke to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Think about the Christmas story and the songs, but rejoice every night of Advent that you have the opportunity to evaluate, to remember, to repent, and that the Holy Spirit is with you always. As John challenged his audience, I continue to challenge you today. One is coming. And I would be remiss if I did not end with a line from one of my favorite songs this time of year, Handel's Messiah. The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen.